Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys, Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass, and Ohio State basketball has just, I have no words. I'm just going to let the video do the talking. This is my thoughts on Ohio State basketball.
Mine's water, by the way. All right. We got to play good cop, bad cop with this as he's chugging a beer. I will be good cop here, and I will give my thoughts on this basketball team as a student athlete point of view. Yeah, there's no reason they should have lost to Maryland and Nebraska. They should have pulled that off. And I'm upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm just as upset as everybody else when it comes to this basketball team. We expect more. We're a second-tier program when it comes to overall programs. Like, we are second-tier. The numbers don't lie. We've been to numerous Elite Eights, Final Fours, despite only one national championship. And I think that's what separates us from being – a top-tier program in college basketball. But you don't lose back-to-back games against two of the worst teams in your conference heading in to, in my opinion, the two biggest games of the year, Michigan State and Michigan. By the way, I think in history of my childhood, teen years, adulthood, the thorn in Ohio State basketball's back has always been Sparty. Am I correct?
I agree. Sparty. To me, they're always going to be top dog, right?
In my opinion, for Ohio State basketball, they are that team up north. Like when it comes to arch rival, because Michigan's had their good years, but it's just like football. We've dominated. We've had some great years. We had a William Buford back in the day, hit a three-pointer to beat him up there. And the Breslin Center, in my opinion, is the toughest place to play in the Big Ten. But you don't lose to the two worst teams in the conference, especially after you beat Illinois in a late tip-off. Granted, this is where I feel for them.
You're too kind.
COVID and the Big Ten protocols screwed this basketball team up. We went 3 weeks without a game in December. You come in, now you've got to go through this 3 week gauntlet of playing 9 games in 21 days. Or it might be something like less than that or something. These guys are student athletes still. Kyle Young is a student athlete / parent / basketball player. That's where I feel for him, where they're fatigued. But this is where I don't feel for him, because the coaches set him up for failure. These guys are gassed. This could be a good bullying point coming into the tournament. Hey, they're gassed. Maybe we'll get one win in the tournament and we're done. And then we finally get some break, blah, 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 blah. Which we haven't had under the Holtman era since his first year. We've always had to run through the gauntlet of the Big Ten tournament, go into the tournament, one and done, boom, route. Holtman has not set these guys up for success, knowing that they're student athletes, knowing that they have to go through, and that's why they've lost their back-to-back games. I'm just as mad as everybody else. I just don't show it because, one, I love Ohio State basketball, but I love Ohio State football more. Like, if this was Ohio State football, this might be the other way around when it comes to good cop, bad cop.
I might have to be the good cop there.
Yes, exactly. Like, football is my sport. But I feel for them when it comes to exhaustion, but they also know as part of being a student athlete, you got to get prepared for these quick turnarounds. And I don't think Chris Holtman has done that in his career at Ohio State. He's run the offense through one man. Every time. It's either whether it's Dwayne Washington Jr., Kaleb Bates Diop, EJ Liddell, Caleb Wesson. In this case, you got two guys, Malachi Brennan and EJ Liddell. But when both guys are not feeding it and finding it, who is that other guy? Me personally, I'm tired of these grad transfers Why can't we just – like, why can't we just bring in a fresh – a great freshman class and build upon it? We've had nothing but grad transfers. Whether it's Cedric Russell or Andrew Dockage or, you know, Jimmy Sotos, who is a bum. All he's good for is dancing on TikTok. But why can't we build like what Thad Mata did?
Keyshawn Woods, like another example.
Yeah. Like, why can't we build
CJ Walker,
a great freshman class?
All right.
In CJ Walker's defense, he was there when Thad Mata got there.
Fair enough.
I'm done.
I think this is a good segue.
This is a good cut.
This is a great segue. Cass, you are too kind. You are too loving. I love you, brother. I'm going to hurt some feelings now.
Bad. You ain't going to hurt mine. You ain't going to hurt mine.
I'm not going to hurt yours. I'm going to hurt some feelings. First off, Holtman's got to go. He's got to go. I've tried to rationalize defending him. Our program is not better with Holtman. He is minus the last 2 years at that. All right. And by the way, I think we should really forget those last 2 years because that just got completely botched.
I would say three.
No, because the 1 year we had D'Angelo Russell, we beat VCU, we won a tournament game. It wasn't a terrible year. That was more of a rebuilding year. And you also forget Jayshon Tate, Kade Bates-Diop, Cam Williams were all freshmen that year.
And we had terrible Mark Loving.
Yes, but I miss the days. I literally miss the days where we had Big Ten players on our roster. They just weren't very good. We weren't winning because Thad Mata wasn't coaching. We weren't winning because either, you know, Amir Williams was too lazy or Mark Loving just had smoked the wrong strain of weed.
They weren't developing
the night before. Yeah, they weren't. But it was on the players. You could tell.
Yeah.
And then we did Thad Mata dirty, I think. And I wrote an article that year saying, don't get rid of Thad, give him another year. Because Kade Bates-Diop wasn't even playing. And he turned out to be Big Ten Player of the Year. And
And look what Jayshon Tate has done in the NBA.
Yeah. He had good players. It was a bad situation when, you know, you get five stud recruits that are, you know, number five overall recruiting class in the Thad Five. And they just don't pan out. And that's you really can't even blame Thad on that, in my opinion, because the guy was proven at that point. It was these guys were just bums, and you know what? That's what it is. It was probably one of the most unlucky things in college basketball history, in my opinion, having a number five overall recruiting class, number one recruiting class in the Big Ten, and the best player we got out of it was Jaquan Lyle, who, you know, had a mediocre college career, to say the least.
I do think that if Jaquan Lyle didn't transfer to New Mexico and was on that team with Kade Bates-Diop and Jayshon Tate that won the Big Ten, that shared the Big Ten with under Holtman's first year, I just don't think Lyle wanted to buy into Holtman's system, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So I truly think, though, the team that Holtman took over in 2017, if Thad was coaching that team, we go to Sweet 16 easily. With that, Kade Bates-Diop, Jayshon Tate, I believe we did Thad dirty, and it's a sick joke at this point. We've been making these jokes, I think, for years, and we made the joke, you know, watching the Illinois game that they're gonna lose in a heartbreaker. Well, shockingly, they didn't, but they almost
blew
it.
We're on the pod saying that.
But yeah, literally, last episode we said, "Oh, they're gonna lose in a heartbreaker," but. Yeah, it's a great win against Illinois. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah. Except they blew a double-digit lead again in the last 4 minutes. And this is not, you know, a one-game occurrence. This has been happening since last season. This season, it was Rutgers, Indiana, Illinois, three games in a row that happened. And I know basketball is a game of runs, but last year too, like, it was a common joke on Ohio State basketball Twitter. Buckle up. So, you know, Holtman can't have a lead, can't maintain a lead. He has some of these guys on this team are not Big Ten players. We know that. And that's not their fault.
In my opinion, we have two.
Two. Yeah. That's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what people are telling me today. We have two and a half. We have Branham, EJ Liddell, and Kyle Young is a half a Big Ten player. 2.5. And I think that's being generous. We have guys on this roster who can't They're playing at the Ohio State University, somehow can't shoot, can't defend, have no heart. And you know what? We're going to get the Holtman special this year if things don't change immediately. We're going to get bounced. We're going to make the tournament. We're going to win a game and then get bounced. We might not even win a game in the tournament. And it's what really makes me angry, Cass, is the fact that – and I love Gene. I love Gene Smith. But the fact that he – when asked about extending Holtman, he was like, oh, he's doing a great job. But then when asked about extending Ryan Day, he goes, oh, we'll have to see. Like, are you kidding me? Ryan Day has actually delivered championships. He's won Big Ten titles. He's got us to the national championship game. Holtman hasn't done anything. He gets us kind of close. He's like a tease. He's like a tease at the strip club. Like, you get kind of close, but you don't get it all the way. That's what Chris Holtman has been. And he's a nice guy. And I like he's a great family man and he's well liked, but we're not winning a national championship with Chris Holtman. It's ridiculous. We're not playing to our caliber. Everyone can see it. Our players aren't developing. Michi Johnson, Justin Ahrens. I mean,
Justin Ahrens is the prime example mm-hmm. of a Holtman failure.
Yes, and that's not Ahrens' fault. It's Holtman, and like you said, they're student athletes, and I understand that. But
what I meant when it comes to student athletes, I feel for them when it came to all these games in a row.
Yes.
What I meant. Yeah. Like,
no. And that's
don't get me wrong. Like, say if we played, if we didn't have to reschedule Nebraska and Iowa, we probably would have beat Maryland. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like,
and this is the Ohio State slide, the classic slide, but it was delayed because the COVID kind of threw everything out of whack, but it is the classic Ohio State slide. It's the same things that we've always seen with this program. Nothing has changed since 2017. I think Holtman gets seen as such a great coach because he semi-stabilized things. Basically, Thad's last two seasons were really bad just because of the recruiting mess and his health. And
my issue with Holtman
gets a pass, but go ahead.
My issue with Holtman, Alonzo Gaffney, number one recruit in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Gone. Boof. Gone. But going back, you know, going back to what you said about Gene Smith with
DJ Carton, Luther Muhammad, all these guys, like, all right, Luther, not a great shooter, can defend. DJ Carton, great scorer. He transfers. Alonzo Gaffney, I believe he was having a very good season at,
he was injuries and then he just decided.
Oh, no, he left. But no, Thunderbird, I believe was a Thad guy. Goes to NC State because Holtman, you know, ran him out. That guy was a walking double-double in the ACC. But we have Joey Brunk coming off the bench. And, like, we have guys who, like, couldn't even make the Columbus Condors roster playing for Ohio State basketball. And
by the way, Condors aren't even a team right now.
They aren't. But, like, some of these guys wouldn't even make the Columbus Condors. And there are... They're coming off our bench playing big minutes. And that's not their fault. That's Holtman and the coaching staff. And I'm sick of feeling like a freaking loser. We're the Ohio State University. We shouldn't be mediocre. We should be elite. You look at Michigan State. You look at that team up north. Even look at Illinois.
Wisconsin just won the title.
Yeah.
And they're projected 10th.
Yeah.
They're projected 10th in the conference. And they just won the title, at least a share.
And I got Johnny Davis. I watched him. He doesn't impress me. I think Jaden Ivey's a much better player on Purdue. I think he should win Big Ten Player of the Year.
I think Ivey's the best player in the Big Ten.
I completely agree. But the problem is we just don't develop players. We don't get the best out of them. Kyle Young has kind of developed, and that's why he's, you know, but he's also 30. Like, I mean, he should be developed by now.
EJ Liddell has developed though. Like EJ Liddell
is like a mushroom. All right.
And here's the thing too.
He would grow with no sunlight and water. He's a mushroom. He could put him on Rutgers or NJIT and he would be averaging 25. And here's
the
thing,
as we're about to probably watch Myla Kyle Brennan walk out the door.
Yeah. No, he's gone. It's gonna be It's going to be and so upsetting.
As much as I put the blame on Holtmann, I put it on Gene Smith too. Because here, I'm going to demonstrate on Brutus. Here's Brutus. I know he's got a little sketchy face right now. Mm-hmm. But this is the expectations for football. This is for basketball when it comes to Gene Smith. Football, basketball.
Yeah.
Football, basketball. That's why he made those comments about Ryan Day and Chris Holtmann.
Which is so shameful, in my opinion, because Ryan Day absolutely deserves every cent he has earned so far.
Oh, he'll get it. Chris Holtmann. He's going to get it, though.
Yeah. Chris Holtmann should pay me money for watching these games on TV. All right.
So going back.
I am emotionally damaged from his tenure here. And I am
emotional damage.
Yes, emotional damage.
So let's go back to our conversation where you said, we've had this conversation quite a bit off air about you know, former players. You know, you got Penny Hardaway at Memphis, Juwan Howard at Michigan, you know, just to name a couple. You said we should have gave Thad one more year, let him retire, walk out the door. We should have brought in, maybe thought about, even when Holtmann got fired, I mean, before we brought in Holtmann, why wasn't Chris Gent a name to be possibly brought in? Look what he's done with Buddy Hield at Sacramento when he was at Sacramento. Look what he did with William Buford. Like, all these guys I'm about to name. Like, Aaron Kraft is a defensive player. Like, I mean, you can't, you know. But, like, Sullinger, all them guys.
We should have done what Ohio State Ohio State football did, kind of when, you know, Tressel got canned and we had Fickell. We should have done we should have had Gent be the interim while Thad healed up his foot. Cause he, people don't realize the dude almost lost his foot. Like, between having just
five bums
just get recruited who were supposed to be good.
Coaching on a bar stool.
And then the dude couldn't even walk. And we ran our best coach out of town for no reason.
And he's coaching on a bar stool.
Yeah. I think we should have gave him the year off, make sure his health was intact.
And had Chris Gent. Jeff Bowles. Look what Jeff Bowles is doing at OU.
But it was a rash decision. And I forever believe we messed up. And two casts, like, you look at those teams that Thad had. Yeah, like, the end of the teams weren't great. But imagine how much better this Ohio State basketball team would be if we had, like, a Sam Thompson and a Shannon Scott on our roster as opposed to some of these guys. Like, we need guys like that again. Just – they're not going to be the greatest.
That's what I'm saying. Stop going into the portal. Get the guys like Malachi Brennan and develop him into what Michigan State does. Look at Michigan State. Look how long Draymond Green and Miles Bridges and Cassius Winston and
Valentine. I think Valentine was there for
Look how long they were
years.
There.
Yeah.
Like Arns' brother.
The Big Ten is a grown man's league. It's very rare you're going to find
The one and duns deserve to be in the Southeastern Conference and the ACC.
They will.
And the one and duns are not in the Big Ten.
No, the Big Ten, you need to be a grown man. And the problem is, though, the grown men we're getting aren't good enough for those other conferences. So we're just getting guys that don't really know how physical and good.
No offense against Cedric Russell or Jimmy Soto, but we're getting guys from Utah State and Louisiana.
Yeah. We need to be getting – they need to be coming from major Power 5 programs.
We let Micah Potter walk. We had a great senior year with Wisconsin.
Exactly. This program is not as functional, I think, as people act.
I think it is.
It's not.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not as functional.
You're absolutely right.
Everything looks good on the outside, and I know people are going to write articles saying, oh, well, this guy's a great recruit. Dude. Look at his mixtape. And then he gets here to campus, and the guy can't make a freaking layup. And it's like, what changed?
Let me tell you. Let's go back to Gene Smith here I'm done talking about the basketball. They play Michigan State this week. They play Michigan Sunday. They're honoring the Rose Bowl team on Sunday.
We're going to split. We'll go 1-1. We'll lose to Michigan State, beat that team up north. And then good luck in the tournament because we're going to need it.
We'll beat Minnesota or Maryland, and we'll go on and get beat by Iowa.
Yeah.
But you talked about rash decisions by Gene Smith. This is a total topic that we didn't even have on this on our agenda. Like, we come on, we talk about for 15 minutes before we actually broadcast what we're going to talk about on the show, just a rundown. We do it through the week anyways, like, hey, these are ideas, what we're going to do. But who would have thunk that we're going to do it on the fly? The rash decisions that Gene Smith has done since he's been the AD at Ohio State. Tressel, Urban suspension being a part of that. Firing Thad. Rash decisions. Is Gene Smith a rash decision athletic director? Those are the three biggest.
I think you can make the argument. And I give him credit. Look, I love Gene.
Oh, I do too.
He's a great dude. But there are times where you do got to question him. And I'm not gonna lie. He stepped up. He rose to the occasion during the COVID crisis. Yeah. I truly believe we don't have a 2020 season in football without him.
By the way, he made a rash decision about canceling concession stands in February.
Yeah, I think he just honestly he worries about public opinion way too much. I think that's his problem,
and that's the whole reason why I don't think he fought hard enough for Urban against President Drake. Because I think he was also worried about his job. Because he was also suspended. I think, like you said, firing Thad maybe a year too early. Because he fired him in June. And I think we had to rush to hire a new coach. And then...
why would you fire him in June?
And then you let Jim Tressel walk out in May. After the spring game. Or before it was April, right before the spring game.
I'll never wrap my head about the Thad thing, and it was buried deep inside of me today. Like it's been something that's been kind of festing, like stewing inside of me. Like we should have never got rid of that.
I'm kind of glad my streaming stuff hasn't been working very well on like TV because all I've been doing is listening to him. Let me tell you. You can hear the frustration in Ron Stokes and Paul Keels' voice when they're doing the game. It really is. There is a frustration, and they're trying to play it off like, you know,
it's not an exciting product. It's like you have to look at this. This is a business. What is the product that Ohio State basketball is bringing? It's not exciting. It's really not. It's a corporate venue.
It's dead.
We all know they need to build an actual basketball stadium or, you know, put them in St. John.
Just renovate St. John?
I like the shot. Don't get me wrong. But I think the shot is more of maybe like a hockey or, you know, Drake's coming to sing at Ohio State in February.
WWE's coming.
WWE. Yeah. It's not a basketball arena. And
I mean, it is, but it's not. It's for a program like North Carolina. Not Ohio State. By the way, Kansas. These are, in my opinion, the top tier programs in college basketball. UCLA, Kansas, North Carolina, Michigan State, Duke, and Kentucky. What do they all have in common? They have arenas that are 15,000 or less. I believe.
I think anyone else I would throw. I think you nailed it.
Syracuse?
No, not anymore. My dad's a Syracuse alum. I love Boeheim. They're
like, robbed at gunpoint, by the way.
When?
Last night or a couple nights ago.
Saw
an article about
it. I'm glad he's all right, but
he's going to have emotional damage.
I have emotional damage. I mean, for all those listening. I'm not trying to – like I know a lot of people are probably thinking, Dan, you're being overreactionary. No. This this has been a culmination of since 2013, since when Dan, I started, when I became an Ohio State fan. Ever Dan, since the
Dan, I've known you for 4 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been building.
It's been building. This has been building. This has been since 2013 or 2014, whatever. It all started with the Aaron Kraft play against Dayton where he got hacked. He got hacked, missed the layup. And then ever since then, I feel like Ohio State basketball has never been the same. Then we go into the Amir Williams era where we just don't have a big man. And then we go to the Thad Five. And then we go into the Holtman era where we deal with Tony Carr hitting, you know, ridiculous half-court shots.
I was at that game.
Yeah, Tony Carr beat us three times. Three times. And then, you know, just the typical Holtman era, the beginning 2018 to 2020, where, you know, we just have Luther Muhammad and the Wesson brothers just freaking shots.
I wish we had more Andre Wessons.
Yeah, no. And I agree. We do need more guys like Andre Wesson. And
we need that grit guy. We don't have that grit guy this year.
Gene Brown's a guy who I think is like our Andre Wesson. And I would throw him maybe as a 0.5 Big Ten player because I think he's the only guy that's actually developing. You can see his development from year one to year two. He really didn't play last year.
And then Malachi Brennan has developed this year. Like throughout this whole year, he has developed.
But I don't think that's the coaching staff. I think that's just him figuring out himself. That's not like Holtman sitting down with him.
And I think I think Malachi Brennan will be back next year because right now he's projected late second round. I think he realizes, hey, I could be a first round draft pick. With that, we do have a great recruiting class coming in. Let's see.
I've heard that song and dance before.
But this class is supposed to be really, really good.
Dude,
this is Holtman. This will be Holtman's best class.
We could have LeBron James, Zion Williamson, freaking Dwayne Wade, all these guys, and Holtman will find a way to somehow start a 6'8 transfer from freaking Seton Hall. Yeah, New Mexico State over them because he thinks he's a good fit in the offense. It's ridiculous. And the guy will shoot 20%. So, I get it. Holtman's a nice guy. He passes out canes once a year for the students. That's great. But we're a basketball program. I got to evaluate what our product is on the court. And we are not better than Thad era. Under the Thad era, we were winning championships. We were competing in the tournament, making Final Fours. Guys were getting developed, being drafted high.
Winning Big Ten tournaments.
We were excited. And too, Thad was scary on the sidelines, too. Thad,
Dude, he was picking up his gum off the ground, put it back in his mouth.
Dude was chirping like a bird, red. I wasn't even a Buckeye. I was just a young kid. I was like, wow, this guy is a scary coach. Holtman, he's looking good in his Armani jacket. Yeah, you know, looking flashy. Looks great.
Gelled hair.
Looks like he's ready to run a freaking Chase Bank branch, but like that's not what we need. We need basket. We just need a guy to be real, develop players, and I don't care if he wants to do some shady stuff and pass money bags under the table. We need players, and I'm sick of being a loser. And I'm ready. I'm telling you what, Cass. When we lose in the first round. Everyone on Bunch of Nuts is invited to my burial because we are going to bury me after we lose in the tournament in the first or second round. The pallbearers, I'm going to do a backyard burial. I'm going to actually dig the hole, bury me. I'm going to have EJ Liddell. We're going to have Justin Ahrens. We're going to
You're not going to have EJ Liddell. Here's the guys that are going to bury you. You're going to have Justin Ahrens. You're going to have
Joey Brunk.
Not Joey Brunk. You're going to have – who just graduated last year? Shoot. Oh, my God. Who was the guy?
EJ Walker.
Yeah, you can't have EJ Liddell or Malachi Brennan. Here's the guy. Kyle Young, Justin Ahrens. The guys that were highly recruited that just – Might as well bring Austin Grandstaff. Why don't you know? Why not?
He can play. He can supply the music. He can do SoundCloud songs while I'm dying. Like they're gonna, we're gonna dig the hole in my backyard. We're gonna get the coffin. And we're gonna put me in it because this team is going to bury me and kill me. That's just how strong I am. So damaged and tortured from this team, man. And I am like, I know I've been ranting probably for 30 minutes at this point, and you guys are, everyone listens probably like, Dan, we get it, but you just don't. I'm sick of this. I have not had one good season of Ohio State basketball since I've been watching them, and I am frustrated. And
maybe it's you.
It might be me. I might have to take my talents to another team. If I don't see something, I might have to break up with Ohio State basketball. I'm considering it. I need something.
You know what we got, though? Lacrosse, man.
Lacrosse. Yes, sir.
Another big win in Naples, Florida against Harvard. We don't know much about lacrosse. We're starting. We're fresh. But what I've been hearing is Jack Myers is a stud. Broke the record with 11 points last week. Had 5 goals and 6 assists. Dude's a stud, man.
He had a 9-point effort against North Carolina, and then against Harvard, he had looks like 11 points. Most points since Joel Dalgarno, who had 12 against Denver in 2008. Ohio State is now number 6 overall in the nation after they just beat Harvard, I believe. Yeah, 17-12. And then they play Cornell this Saturday.
And Ithaca.
And Ithaca, who's a number 11 overall, 3-0. And, I mean, it wasn't just Jack Myers. It was Colby Smith. He had a hat trick. Jackson Reed had four third quarter goals. Jackson Reed. So there's a lot of good players on this team.
Absolutely. And guess what? Bunch of Nuts podcasts will be in the Sioux next Saturday.
I think honestly, I'm just going to give up college basketball and I'm just going to become a college lacrosse fan because these guys are good. They're deserving. Look at these guys.
They're happy. Got the Buckeye Leafs on their helmets.
And
I mean,
look, I don't know much about lacrosse, but I can tell this guy, that's a Big Ten lacrosse player.
That's Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's that guy right there.
Chris Olave.
Big Ten lacrosse player. That guy in the way back,
he's JT really, Barrett.
Really tall. These are Big Ten lacrosse caliber players. You go to our basketball team, 2.5 guys are maybe worth Big Ten caliber players. So great team right here.
Lacrosse is looking really good this year. I can't wait to go next Saturday in the Shoe against Notre Dame. It's going to be fun. We might be cheering and not really knowing what we're cheering about, and we might get kicked out of the Shoe for lacrosse because we're holding all this basketball energy for cheering to cheer for this lacrosse team, man. Honestly.
I'm excited. And I know they're going to do great. I know. I mean, look, there's not much lacrosse can do to break my spirit. It's impossible.
But by the way, the baseball team got swept last weekend by Texas State, and they lost on a bad news bears is what we're calling this. They lost on a walk off to Cincinnati today, 4-5. But they go starting this Friday in the Armed Forces Invitational. They go to Fayetteville, North Carolina. They can play Campbell, Pitt, and Army before next Friday. They head to Morgantown, West Virginia, to take on the Mountaineers. Baseball season about to be in Bill Davis Stadium, and they won't be there until Tuesday, March 22nd against Wright State. And then that weekend, they'll be back on the road again against Purdue. So their first full series is against Nebraska on April 1st. So for baseball. Softball, they're 9-3. They had an up and down weekend this past weekend. They dropped their first two, and they were heartbreakers. They didn't score a run. They got outbeat 5-0. They lost a heartbreaker in 9 innings in a pitching duel, 1-0 to Virginia Tech, and then lost to Troy 4-0, but beat South Carolina and beat Miami, Ohio. They're 9-3 on the year. They head to Tampa to take on Stony Brook, Army, Stony Brook again in a little tournament before Sunday. And then they finish up with a doubleheader Sunday against South Florida and UMass. So the softball team's still rolling, 9-3. Hopefully we can catch them in the shoe. I mean, not in the shoe, but in Columbus, which will be, Friday, March 25th against Indiana. By the way, tickets are free to softball. So go catch some softball. By the way, if you catch a foul ball at softball, you have to give it back. So,
Oh, do you? Is that a rule?
Yeah, they give you a sticker or something like that.
What kind of sticker?
I don't know. I never caught a foul ball.
It should be a Buckeye leaf. You should get a Buckeye leaf.
I think it is a Buckeye leaf sticker.
That's a pretty cool trade-off then.
I mean, it might be like the one that's on the back of my phone here, but yeah, softball, baseball, and lacrosse heating up. And then we get the spring game, April 16th.
I feel like football's still been so, I feel like there's been no news out of football, which is really odd. It's been so quiet.
Well, lately, because they got their coaching staff in available and stuff. But the combine's this weekend.
That is true. Olave had high praise. He put up a great time on the screen for Ballard.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Jaden Ballard, what Olave said today, immediately. Talk about Jaden Ballard, he's got the speed that's off the charts. If he works on his route running, he could be one of the greatest wide receivers ever to suit up in the Scarlet and Gray. By the way, I think it's this man, right here, that's the greatest wide receiver of all time, in my opinion.
He's young. I mean, he's not. It sounds like from at least Olave's view that Ballard is a guy who they're going to develop. As opposed to basketball, our football team and Mickey Marotti can actually, develop players, which is, breaking news. But
look at Jackson Smith and Jigba, who right now I think it's this guy that's the best receiver. But I think after next year when Njigba walks out, I think it'll be Njigba. I think it's just going to keep going. As Brian Hartline keeps recruiting these guys, it could be after that. After Njigba leaves, it's going to be Marvin Harrison. Then it's going to be, Jaden Ballard or Emeka Buka.
Ballard
is the same age as Marvin Harrison. That's what's crazy.
What's wild is, but Ballard could be a guy who, maybe makes a few plays this year. Because he's only technically a freshman. And then sophomore year makes a few more plays. And then a lot of plays. And then suddenly his senior year, he puts together, a monster senior year. He's here 4 or 5 years, puts up big numbers. I could see it. Chris Olave, you got to trust a guy like Chris Olave on this.
Absolutely. And think about it. We had Paris Campbell, Johnny Dixon, Ben Victor, who I thought were a great – oh, Terry McLaurin, those great four guys.
KJ Hill.
So this year we had five receivers, Victor, Dixon, Hill, Campbell, and McLaurin this year. Njigba, Harrison Jr., Fleming, Abuka, Ballard.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just.
Oh, and wow. We're missing, what's his name? Well, he's a true freshman? I can't think of his name. The true freshman, the guy who's a number one wide receiver recruit.
I said Abuka. Emeka Abuka.
No, what? I should know this.
Fleming.
What's his name? Burton. Caleb Burton. Keon Grays.
Yeah, but I think this year's five. And Njigba, Fleming.
I mean, dude, that is the five. It's only Njigba, Fleming, Harrison, Abuka, Ballard. And then all the other guys are true freshmen. So you don't really know how they're going to be. I mean, we've heard great things about Keon Grays and Caleb Burton. And then kind of the wild card of all that is Cameron Babb, who I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know. He's a mystery because he's always injury, hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for the guy. He's always hurt. But anyways, let's
talk
about.
Looks like he could be good. Yeah. I just got to see him play.
By the way, we've been hearing a lot of good things about our boy Joey Royer.
Yes. Yes.
The fro.
Yes.
Fear the fro.
Yes. I am so psyched that Joe Royer might be tight end one next year. And like, you know, G Scott Jr. has also a chance to be tight end one, but Joe Royer apparently might be the guy, which is.
If he is the guy and starts catching touchdowns, fear the fro, baby. I hope he still has that fro and locks it in. But let's talk about Chris Olave. The NFL Combine, I feel like he's being shafted out of all the wide receivers. We know what Garrett Wilson's all about, obviously. The dude from Arkansas, the dude from USC.
They're already starting out with the narrative that, like, Garrett Wilson isn't fast. When was that ever an issue at Ohio State that he wasn't fast?
It's just like Dan Orlovsky saying that Justin Fields was the last one there and the first one out narrative. But I'm going to tell you right now, this Chris Olave is – I think he is primed to have a huge combine. One, he's trying to prove that he belongs in the top 15, which he deserves. He's going to run well. He's going to run so smooth and catch the ball and run his route so smooth that the scouts are going to be wow. But it's also going to be the private workouts that he'll have. And obviously, we don't know who those private workouts are going to be.
The Bears better have a private workout with him.
By the way, the Bears don't pick until the second round.
But he might. There's a chance he could be there. I don't know, because Ohio State guys, they always get shafted. They somehow always get shafted for no
reason. I've been hearing a lot because of Jameson Williams' knee. Hearing a lot because a lot of these guys are going to run. This wide receiver class might be deeper than last year. A lot of these guys are going to run. J-Mo's not going to run. I've been hearing a lot that the Bears selecting J-Mo in the second round.
I just don't see him falling.
I don't see Olave falling. I think after the private workouts and in the combine, I think Olave is going to go out. Olave has more to prove than the other guys, which is sad.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's
because people in the media have this narrative about Ohio State players that, one, they're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Olave's got that chip on his shoulder. He was a 3-star kid out of California where Ryan Day was going after their quarterback and then said, well, who's this guy? Next thing you know, he's blocking punts in the Michigan game and catching a couple touchdowns, and then all of a sudden he becomes – one of the greatest, the greatest wide receiver ever to suit up for the Scarlet and Gray.
I'm excited to see how Jeremy Rucker does. I think
I am too.
Someone who could pop off and have a really big combine and really propel himself up.
Yeah, Jeremy Rucker, Nicholas Petit-Frere, obviously Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Haskell Garrett. Were those the guys invited?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if he's doing the bench press or not. I'd assume he is, but I wouldn't be shocked if Haskell Garrett puts up some monster numbers on the bench press.
Our old buddy number 75? Why is he named
Thayer?
Thayer Munford. Did he not get invited?
He got invited.
Oh, Master Teague was the one that didn't get
Master Teague got snubbed, which is mind blowing to me.
Because they're afraid that Master Teague's going to go out there and run a 4.3 40, and he's going to look like a bowling ball out there. If you listen to the Zach Smith podcast, he feels like that Master Teague will have this Rod Smith long term NFL career because he's going to run fast north and south, but he's not shifty back. Which, you know, he's going to follow good special teams and he's going to follow a good backup running back job.
The fake news doesn't want you to know that Master Teague is the fastest guy in Ohio State. I posted it. Olave took the picture last year of everyone who ran the 40s, and Master Teague had like the fastest time in Ohio State, and he had the best like bench press measurables coming off a torn Achilles. Like, the fake news doesn't want you to know Master Teague is a secret weapon. And I really think that he could be a diamond in the rough. As crazy as that sounds, if you give him on, get him on the right team and the right system.
Yeah, I'm not talking. He's good, not talking a Pro Bowl caliber running back. I'm talking about a 10-year running back that plays a little bit of special teams and a running back that's going to get you a first down here and there. He's going to be what the Bengals needed out of Samaje Perine.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. I think. Obviously, Samaje can catch.
Yeah, Master Teague would dive after a ball when fourth and one in the Super Bowl, by the way.
Well, Master Teague would have blown by him. Master Teague runs a 4-2. And Master Teague would have burnt him. He would have already been in the end zone. Joe Burrow would have been throwing that wheel route to him easily. So, yeah, just Master Teague. Just I'm a believer. When he has a better NFL career than Saquon Barkley, you heard it here from Bunch of Nuts podcast.
By the way, why isn't Saquon Barkley and Marcus Mariota being up discussions for busts, NFL busts?
I just want to say I've been on that take that Saquon is a bust and overrated for years. People were like, Dan, you're a psycho. You're crazy. No, I've been right.
He's also on the Giants.
No. He's just not good. He's just not. Everyone looked at him. They're like, wow, this guy has big quads. Let's put short shorts on him and put him in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. He's really marketable. And apparently that means you're good at football. It doesn't. Nothing to do with it. As you can tell, I am salty this episode because Holman's got me mad. So I'm just taking it out on everyone.
The episode name for this episode should be called Holtman Has Us Salty. I'm serious.
Or just emotional damage.
There we go. Buckeye damage. I'm going to come up with something clever. By the way, I'm very emotional right now because I should be a month away from opening day, and Rob Manfred and the owners and the MLBPA can bite a weenie right now because I'm so ticked off that there's not going to be baseball for the least first series.
So I like to thank Rob Manfred as a defending fantasy baseball champion. He is making my he's extending how long I get to keep my title potentially by an extra year. So thank you, Mr. Manfred, because
I had baseball to watch before I got ready for Ohio State football. And now I got to deal with this. Like, what am I going to do this summer? Like, I love
USFL. I love baseball. We're going to cheer for Mike Weber and Johnny Dixon.
I mean,
and JT Barrett and the CFL. We got some minor league football, baby.
I'm going to have to because I want the Michigan Panthers to go 0-0 whatever they play, how many games they play.
Yeah, Shea Patterson's going to – oh, it's going to be fun to watch.
All right, folks, we got to get out of here. By the way, turn it to ESPN Plus this weekend when the Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Cornell Big Red, because we are a Buckeye football and – number one and Buckeye Lacrosse number two podcast now after this episode. So yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm basketball. You'll probably be listening to this on Friday. I don't know. Whenever Dave gets around to posting this, not our fault. It's up to Dave when he posts it. But if you're listening to this on Friday, game predictions for the Michigan State game real quick, because I don't know if this will be uploaded. I'm going to say Ohio State loses a heartbreaker somehow. We'll play better against Nebraska than we did against Nebraska. Still a heartbreaker. We lose to Sparty. Sparty gets ranked, and Izzo goes on his war path as usual in March. But that's my prediction. Cass, what's your prediction?
Buckeyes. I'm going to score prediction. I'm going that far. Buckeyes 56, Sparty 62, 65.
It's
going to
be a lot of bricks. They're gonna
both teams are not very good.
Yeah. Joey Hauser is gonna drop a double double on us somehow.
Somebody is. Yeah. Somebody always does.
Yeah.
By the way, Joey the flamethrower Hauser. Mylakai Brandon will score 20. Liddell will score almost 20. We'll have 40 points out of them, but still only manage to score 50 to 60 points.
Justin Ahrens over 7 shooting 3. Kyle Young 2 points. 6 yeah. rebounds, 2 blocks.
And if you're listening Friday for the Michigan game, Buckeyes go off. Justin Arns has a game where he makes 2 three-pointers.
Yeah, senior day. They go nuts.
Senior day because it's his last game.
Seti P, 25 points.
Buckeyes win 82-79.
Oh, yeah. And then Juwan Howard punches.
Wait, he's not going to be there.
Juwan Howard comes down from the rafters and punches Chris Holtman.
With a sting mask on.
Chris Holtman then beats his ass with a chair. Both coaches get fired. Everyone cheers, and we go hire Chris Jenn. And there we go. That's how we...
And while Ryan Day is there, he gives.
Does not get an extension. No. But the Bears offer him the max.
Ryan Day will get extension.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I got, Cass. All right.
Oh, airing a grievance episode.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I have aired my grievances. I have released some demons. Thank you for listening. And as always, go Bucks.
And go watch lacrosse.
Yes. We're a lax pod.